Open your Bibles this morning to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 13 through verse 16. I'll read those even or odd verses, if you'll join me with the even verses of 14 and 16. Once you've found James chapter 4, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. James chapter 4, beginning verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, and appeareth for a time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and to do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And let's pray this morning. God, again, how awesome it is to be able to stand, be able to read from this good book this morning. We do thank you for these folks from Quincy. I do pray for Brother Jason and the good folks down there. I pray that you give them a building. Lord, you provide for them. Lord, meet those needs. We know that we serve a God that can answer prayers. And so this morning, I pray you be with our service here. Bless the special before our message. In your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, come quickly and take thy children home. Are you ready for his coming when Jesus claims his home? Christ is coming, he is coming, and we do not know the hour. Oh, sinner, you're not ready till you taste his saving power. Lord Jesus, come quickly and take thy children. His home, as he went up into heaven, so he cometh in the sky. Oh, Christian, will you serve him for redemption? Draw it nigh. He will come in power and glory, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we who still are living shall be caught up in the skies. Lord Jesus, come quickly and take thy children home. Are you ready for his coming, when Jesus claims his home? Are you ready for his coming, when Jesus claims his home?
Thank you, Tom, this morning. I want to speak to you from this passage in James 4 about something to think about. We'll look at these scriptures and let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts today. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the privilege to assemble together on this corner on this fine Sunday morning. It's the Lord's Day. And God, I know there's a lot of things on people's minds and hearts and things that left over from yesterday that weren't done or left undone, things waiting to be done tomorrow. But I pray that for these moments on this Sunday morning, we will concentrate, that the help of your Spirit will be here to draw our concentration to your Word, and that we might have an anointed tongue to speak with your blessing and power, and that all of our ears might be anointed to hear and listen to what the Spirit would say to us this morning. So help me, I pray, as I deliver this message. Trust God that it's Bible-based and from your word that you'll be able to bless it. We've asked it in Jesus' name and for His sake. And amen. I remember the first time it dawned on me that I might be getting older. Now, I'm not old, but I am older than I was, obviously, 20 or 30 years ago. And or at least, I remember when it dawned on me that maybe I was starting to look like I was getting older. I had been in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, preaching for Brother Ken Shaver. I left on Wednesday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning there, to drive back here, of course, for the rest of the day and the evening service Wednesday. And I left early, like I said, 4 o'clock, and I thought, well, I'm going to stop for some McDonald's or something. I don't stop and sit down because I want to get going. And I stopped somewhere in southern Illinois on I-57 at a McDonald's, and I ordered a sausage McMuffin, sausage with egg McMuffin, you know, type thing. And I don't do that often, but I still like a little McDonald's every now and again, you know. And so, and I got a chocolate milk. I wanted some milk. So I wanted a milk, and I got a chocolate milk. And then I said, now, I would also like a cup of coffee. And the lady took my order, and she said, it'd be so many dollars and so many cents. And she said, by the way, I gave you the senior discount for the coffee. And I looked at her, because I wasn't even eligible for it. So, you know what I did? I took it. I said, thank you. Now, I wanted to reach across the counter and smack her in the next week. How dare you, man? Then, you know, then you look in the mirror and you go, ooh, man, I don't know, man. And I've never been one of those, what is that stuff that guys put in their hair? Grecian formula, yeah, 5. It would take me 25, I think. But anyway, oh, mercy. I guess she was going off what she saw. But, you know, and I guess that's just the way it is. And now I'm eligible for the senior discount. So, but anyway, one surefire way you know that you're getting older is when life picks up speed. And as you get further along in life, it just seems to go faster and faster. It doesn't. You know, there's still 24 hours in a day and 60 minutes in an hour and 60 seconds in every minute. That doesn't change. But life just seems to pick up speed. And I remember as a boy, you know, when Christmas would come and it would seem like 3 years till the next Christmas came. And my goodness, and you have a birthday, and it seemed like 3 years before your next birthday came, and now it seems like they come every 6 months. You know, you got to start planning when you got, you know, kids married and in-laws and grandkids. You got to start planning for Christmas, you know, 8-9 months out if you're going to be able to get anybody anything. And so it just flies, and you know, it's definitely moving quicker than it was 40 or 50 years ago. And truth of the matter is, what age we are in life determines what we're looking ahead to. You know, Hannah's little baby, and then Leah and Marcus were there on Friday night, and I saw Abby's little baby yesterday at the service in Iowa, and little Finley. I didn't get to see her, but just a second, touch her little cheek, and you know, but those little babies, those little infants, they're just looking forward to to the next meal, to the next nap. You say that sounds like my husband, but anyway, so. You know. So that's what, you know, those little babies, that's what they look forward to, you know. And then, you know, you get to elementary school and, you know, as they look for the next recess and the next field trip or the next trip to the ice cream store. And then teenagers, you know, they start looking forward to, depending on what part of the teenage years they're in, you know, they start looking forward to college and marriage and vocation and, you know, financial preparation for the future. And if you're a young married couple, you start looking for, you want to get a house and get settled and, you know, and have some equity, and your family, you're going to start having a family, and then things to do as a family after the children come along. A few years further now, you know, your kids are graduating, you're looking forward to that, and they're walking across some place, getting a diploma, and then they're maybe getting engaged or getting married. Then, you know, then a little bit further along, then the grandkids come. It's just, you know, where we are in life depends on what we're looking forward to next. And then, you know, as you get to the empty nest, and, you know, then it's trips to see the grandkids. You know, it's just, and maybe it's a little bit further down the road, retirement. Where am I going to settle? What am I going to do the rest of my life? I'm not going to go to work anymore as far as having a job. So these things, you know, the phases of life determine what we're looking forward to, what we're thinking about, what we are planning for. And there's certainly nothing wrong with any of those things, and that list is not exhaustive. That's not an exhaustive list. But life picks up speed, and these things, they come to pass quicker than we realize. They really do. And I can speak from personal experience, and you can do the same this morning. I'm just a guy talking right now. Everybody here can tell the phase in life you're in, how much quicker it's moving, especially the older you get. And there's something wrong with looking to the next event or the next happening or the next thing on life's calendar, but there is something that we all need to consider, not dwell on, not be pessimistic about, but we need to think about it. We need to consider it as we go through this wonderful thing called life. This will probably shock you. We ought to take a little thought every now and again about mortality. You say, what? Mortality. Webster's 1828 dictionary describes mortality as subjection to death or the necessity of dying. So you say, Pastor, while we go through life, we're supposed to be considering death? I don't mean dwelling on it. I don't mean like a black cloud over your head. But people, listen, we are not going to live in this life forever. Sometimes we don't think about that. We don't stop to consider with all these events and all these happenings and this next phase, and boy, this is ahead. And, you know, I remember, you know, now I'm looking forward to it. Now I'm just a few, and it's all this planning and thinking about it. And it's all about life. It's all about life. It's all about life. And we need to stop every now and again and think about we're not immortal in this body, in this world. And depending on what life stage we are in, you know, some don't think anything about mortality, and then some think much about it. When I visit with my grandkids, you know, those who are old enough to carry on a conversation, I haven't had a conversation with any of my grandkids about mortality, about death. But every time I talk to my father-in-law, who'll be 84 next month, every time I speak with him, I don't bring it up, but he does. Well, Terry, you never know. I'm not much longer for this world, I don't think. And who knows, you know? And it's not that he feels bad, but he's 84. You get that stage in life, you realize you're running out of time. And so it depends on what phase you're in, maybe that when you're thinking about it. For the younger people here, you know, the kids and the teenagers and the young adults, you say, well, why would I think about mortality? I am 11, I'm 14, I'm 18, I'm 23, I'm 26, I'm 33, you know, I'm 35. I've got a future. And I'm planning on this and I'm planning on that. I have things to do and people to see and places to go. I know. And that's exactly what James was saying. In verse number 13, when he said to them, he said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, and by the way, folks, it kind of sounds like even in James's day, for these folks, life was moving pretty fast. Life was pretty busy. I'm going to go here and do this and buy this and sell that. And I'm going to make a profit. And I'm going to have a business. And I'm going to get a house. And I mean, if it was busy back then, if it was happening back then, how much more so is it today? And if those people back in 60 A.D. were tempted to ignore thinking about the fact that they were mortal, how much more so today? When life is even more hectic and more busy. And you know what? James says, hey, not everybody says, today I'm going to, most everybody at some point in life says, today I'm going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to do that, and today I'm going to go here, and tomorrow I'm going to go there, and today I'm going to buy this, and tomorrow I'm going to sell that. And folks, our plans and our dreams and our visions are always bright, they're always prosperous, they're always successful. And there's nothing wrong with that. But James says in verse number 14, after telling them, that's how most people talk in verse 13, he says in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Wow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. For what is your life? Now folks, this was not written just for teenagers. Sometimes this passage is used for young people and applied to young people, but this is written for people of all. What is your life? Your life at 14, your life at 20, your life at 28, your life at 32, your life at 41, your life at 56, your life at 70, your life at 82. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's like James is saying, oh, whoa, time out. You know, you're making plans for today and tomorrow, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't neglect your mortality. Remember that your life is like a vapor. It's here and gone. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. And I don't know what mental picture comes into your mind when you hear the word vapor, but the picture I get when I think about the word vapor, I see the tea kettle on the stove and it's filled with water, and pretty soon, you know, you turn the heat on there and pretty soon the water begins to boil and the tea kettle begins to whistle, and you go in the kitchen, make you a cup of tea or something that you're doing, cooking or something, and there's that vapor coming out of that little hole in the tea kettle spout. How long does that last? I think of vapor. And see the football players, you know, in November and December and into the playoffs in late December, and they're all heated up. They're out there tackling and running and just carrying on. I mean, giving it everything they've got every play and exerting energy, and they're building up heat in their bodies and they're breathing. And you see those four defensive linemen standing there, and they're just, and they're just coming out of it. It's there and gone. And God says, not me, not some theology professor in some university, God says, that's what our life is like. What is your life? Even a vapor that appears for a little while, a little time, and then vanisheth away. So James is saying, in your planning and in your dreaming and in your thoughts about the future, they all have to be made in the great context of the fact that life is short. And short is a relative term because it is shorter for some than for others. I went on the website, a couple of websites this week, and trying to put this message together, and I just did some research, and the year that I found final statistics for was the year 2013. And the website, and it concurred with a couple of websites, concurred on this number. In 2013, 7,115 people died per day here in America. 7,115 every 24 hours. And you know that's a lot. But when you consider the population of America at that time, 3 years ago, was over 315 million, well, 7,115 is only a fraction of a percentage of 315 million, right? I didn't run the figures because I'm not that good a mathematician. But I think that's a fraction of a percentage. But folks, we cannot live, now listen, we cannot live like that percentage will not include us. And I'll promise you that 7,115 were not all 85-year-olds. They were not all 75-year-olds. They were not all 65, 55. There were some children and some teenagers and some young couples and some middle-aged couples. And that's why God says, consider, so what is your life? Your life. It's not a teenage passage. It's us. It's talking to us. It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. So because we are mortal, because we're not going to live here forever, and because life is like a vapor, James then comes to verse number 15, and basically what he says is, hey, Christian people, live with God's will on your mind. Live with God's will on your mind. He says in verse number 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James says, live with God's will on your minds. Everybody at every age in life should be thinking about what does God want? Even you young elementary school children thinking about your future, what does God want? You teenagers thinking someday about college and career and marriage and family and financial preparation, what does God want? And the young couples that are just getting started, and where do we live and where do we rear our children and what does God want? And just keep going, folks, all through every phase in life. All the way up until you get into your 70s and 80s and you're looking in late 60s and you're looking at retiring and where am I going to settle and what am I going to do? It's not just for teenagers. You need to be thinking, what does God want? What does God want? What does God want with my life? What does God want me to do? What does God want for my future? What is God's will? You see, folks, the thing you don't want to pass through life, which is here today, gone tomorrow, like a vapor. You don't want to pass through life without giving any thought to the will of God. But I'm afraid that's what happens to some people. They get down to the end of life here on this earth and they look back and they've not given one thought to the will of God. It's all been my plans and my dreams and my this and my future and my... You never considered. What did God want? What does God want? You don't want to come. You don't want to plan, and dream and envision apart from God's will. So James is saying, look, you know, man, that life is filled with people who are making plans and they're going here and doing this and buying this and selling that. I'm going to be here tomorrow and see this person next week. And I got these plans. There's nothing wrong with that. I've got plans for later on this year, don't you? I've got plans, some plans for next year. I've already got some things on the calendar for 2018. Because we hope that by the Christmas time of 2018, we'll get to go to Madagascar and spend the Christmas with Ben and Ashley. It'll be 2.5 years since they left. And we hope to do. So there's nothing wrong with looking to the next thing, but we have to do it in the context of God's will. God's will. Let me tell you this morning, listen very carefully. And this is for all ages of people. You don't have to fear God's will. Again, sometimes this passage is used more for teenagers. And I remember being in Bible college and visiting on a Saturday, and then Jim Blaylock, well, once a month or once every 2 or 3 months. It wasn't that often, especially as freshmen, especially. It was about once every 6 weeks or so. Jim Blaylock and myself, and I forget the other guys that were with us. We would meet, and we were different parts of Chicago visiting in the same area, but different streets. And we would meet on one of the main street corners, and we would go bar preaching. Because in Chicago, you just got bar after bar after bar after bar after bar. And it's Saturday night, and unfortunately, the bars are filled. And we go, you know, okay, who's up first? Okay, you're first, I'll be next. And then, you know, we'd go in there, you know, we'd, Lord bless us, and go down the street, bust into the tavern, the bar on Saturday night. Hey, this was mine. I had my memorized line, you know. Hey, folks, can I have your attention? I've been given permission to speak just for a few minutes from the Bible. I want to ask you a question that God asked us in James chapter 4, verse number 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I'd raise my voice and start preaching. Usually the response was one of three things. They might turn the music up louder to drown you out. Or there might be a dog behind the counter that they would turn loose on you, and then you got out of there a lot faster than you came in. And I'm telling you, that happened a couple times. Or there'd be one old boy on the end of the bar stool there, you know, the bar, he's there, that's right, amen, that's right, amen. Pathetic. I used to use that text every time. But think about it, child of God. This is for aged people as well as teenage people. And everybody in between those two extremes, you don't have to fear God's will. You don't have to be pessimistic about it. You don't have to wonder if it would be good for me, if it would be acceptable to me, if it would be pleasing. You don't have to wonder if it would be full. You don't have to wonder. And I think sometimes the devil comes and runs interference. He starts to throw little barbs at God, little doubts. That's the first thing he did back in the Garden of Eden. He caused Eve to doubt what God said. and begins to cause us to think, you know, well, if I really pursue God's will at this stage in my life, you know, some of my plans might not, that I want to do, some of the things that I have planned, places I want to go, things I want to do, I might not get to do them. And you don't have to fear God's will. Because listen to what He promised in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here it is, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's His promise. And by the way, God delivers on His promises. I couldn't make you that promise. I'll make your life good. I'll make your life acceptable. I'll make your life perfect, meaningful, complete. I can't, because I can't deliver. I can make you that promise, but it wouldn't be worth more than the air that's spoken in. But when God makes it, He can deliver. And He said His will is good. The word good is beneficial. God's will is good for each one of us. And not just for us. It's good, it's beneficial for those around us. You know, the best thing I can do for my wife, for my kids, for my grandkids, for the people of Faith Baptist Church that I love and pastor, the best thing I can do for you, for them, is to be right smack dab in the center of God's will. Because God's will is good. It's beneficial not just for me, but for others around me. That's His promise. Some of you have been in the center of God's will, and you've benefited, and your spouses have benefited, and your kids have benefited, and your grandkids have benefited, and others around you have benefited, and it's like, wow, this is what God promised. It's good. It's good. It's beneficial. You don't have to fear the will of God. It's beneficial. It's good. It's what God said it is. And then He said it's acceptable. And acceptable means pleasing. In other words, it will fit you. Life won't be like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It won't be that way. You know, I worked for 10 years out there under Brother Brown in Washington, Iowa, as his assistant. And there were some people out there, when Brother Brown got ready to leave Marion Avenue and move on into the next phase of ministry, which he is doing now, preaching in different churches and so forth. He's going to Africa this Tuesday, him and Rhonda. But before that, when he was planning to leave, there were some people who'd been in there, who'd been in the church in the years that I was there, who thought, you know, Brother Terry ought to come back and be the pastor of Marion Avenue Baptist Church. Brother Terry ought to come back here and pastor. You know who's pastoring there now? As I was there yesterday afternoon at 5:30 for a ball service there, that tournament that we had all those years. They still have that thing. And Brother Schaefer asked me to come preach it. I did yesterday. And little Kyle went with me. Brother Joe Brown moderated the service, Brother Larry Brown's son. He's the pastor of that church now, has been for some years. And I was sitting there on the front pew just watching Joe and just watching him. And you know what? He is a perfect fit for that church. And I trust that I am exactly where God wants me to be. You see, God doesn't take square pegs and try to cram into round holes. That's not how His will operates. His will fits. His will is pleasing. You know, folks, there are a lot of people going through life. They're making a living. They're getting along, you know, doing okay. But it just always doesn't seem to fit. It just is uncomfortable. Maybe somewhere along the way where God said go right, they went left. Or where God said go left, they went right. And they just kind of took a turn out of God's will. Maybe they chose something without praying, without seeking God, without thinking about what does God want. And it's okay, they're making it along, they're getting along in life. It's not like they're heathen or anything, but it just doesn't fit. And I tell you, you don't have to fear God's will. Because God said His will is acceptable. It's pleasing. It fits. Whatever God wants will fit you. And this is not just a message for teenagers thinking about going into the ministry. This is for those in their 50s and 60s and 70s as you consider your life and how vapor-like it really is now. And what does God want for me? And you don't have to fear that, oh no, I'm afraid God is going to ask me something that's not going to fit. It fits. He said it would. It is acceptable. And then look at that word perfect. It means full. Romans 12:2. Complete. Satisfying. You know what's interesting to me, friend? Listen carefully. There's no mention of riches or wealth or popularity or being famous when it comes to God's will. You know why? Because those things do not promise you a full life. But God's will does. God's will promises you a full life. People, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying there's nothing wrong with planning and dreaming and looking ahead and thinking about the future, no matter what life stage you are in, no matter where you are in this wonderful thing called life. Nothing wrong with looking ahead to the next thing on the horizon and looking forward to enjoying it. But it must be done remembering that life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And I don't want to come to the end of my life and realize I gave no thought to God's will. No thought. No thought. And seeing years go by, looking back on years that went by with no thought about God's will. Did I live in God's will? Did I do what God wanted me to do? Was I where God wanted me to be? Or did I pursue things that I thought would be good and acceptable and perfect only to find out that they weren't? The thing that was God's will. Because He said that's what it is. It's good. It's acceptable. And it's perfect. Before you look ahead, while you look ahead, look up. Look up. God, what do you want? What do you want? Where do you want me to live? Where do you want me to live? What do you want me to do? What about this? What about that? What about when I retire? What about when all the kids are gone? What about this? What do they say, Brother Angel, what do you think about your future? I think I'm where God wants me to be. Any place you want to go? Nowhere. Nowhere. I got grave plots out here. I'm not planning them to use them this week. But I got grave plots. I could have had grave plots in Georgia. I guess we could have had grave plots in Iowa. We had 4 kids in Iowa. I have grave plots here. That's where I plan to die. But folks, in the context of all of my plans, I'm constantly looking to God saying, "What, God, whatever you want. What do you want? What do you want for my life?" I'll be honest with you, some of the things that I find myself doing in the ministry, I don't personally, if I had my choice, care to do them. But I know it's what God wants. So I try to follow the will of God. And whatever life stage you're in, you young people, I'm not talking here about not looking ahead and not planning and not dreaming. Have all that. But always surround it with what does God want? What does God want? And follow it. You say, well, before I look ahead, I look up and I see that God's will is different than what I want. I'll give you a little hint. We're done. You'll always be good and pleasing and full when you yield to His will over yours. Always. Because that's His will. And above all, don't miss God's will for your eternal destiny. Above all. You might miss His perfect will here and still do okay in life because that's the kind of God He is. But when you miss His will about your eternal destiny, there's no fixing it. You say, what's His will for my eternal destiny? 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want to see anybody die and go to hell. And He gave His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary, who took all of our sins in His own body on the tree and paid the sin debt for you and me, went to that tomb, walked out 3 days and 3 nights later to prove He's the Son of God with power. He died, He buried, He was rose again so you could be saved. That's His will. To live with Him forever and ever and ever, eternity. I was just reading this passage and actually preached a variation of this yesterday to young people, because it seems like that passage sometimes is good for teenagers, but the more I got into it, the more I realized this is not just for teenagers. This is for us. What is your life as you look ahead? Look up. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, would you stick with me just for a moment mentally? Would you please stick with me just for a moment? Just stick with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed. It won't be long. How many would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about this matter of God's will and the things that I'm doing. And you say, Pastor, God's not interested. Oh, don't say that. God's extremely interested in you. Somewhere along the line of this message, something that was said, God spoke to your heart and your relationship with His will. Maybe you look back and you realize, oh my soul, too much time has passed. I've never considered the will of God for this or for that. But God spoke to you this morning, came to your pew, your seat, and said, hey, don't forget my will. If God spoke to you this morning, would you acknowledge that just by raising your hand simply in the air? God bless you. I appreciate that. God bless you. Amen. You may slip your hands down. Somebody else, I should have raised my hand just then, but I didn't do it. But I will now. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart in a specific way this morning. All right. Thank you. Now let me ask this question. Are you sure that your eternal destiny is settled? That you know you're on your way to heaven? That's God's will for you, and He gave Jesus Christ so that you could be saved. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Angel, I don't know where I am going to spend eternity? It's as simple as that. I don't know. If that's you this morning, could I ask you to slip your hand in the air? I'm not going to call on you. I'm just going to pray for you. Is there anybody like that this morning? I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Anybody like that in the room this morning, from side to side, front to back, man, woman, boy, or girl, visitor, member, doesn't matter. I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Nobody in the room today. I trust that that's true, friend. I trust you've got that settled, nailed down, all done and wrapped up, because that is the most crucial decision you'll ever make in life. Is there anybody that would say, Pastor, just say a prayer for me? You may not know my name, just say a prayer. I don't know. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody like that? Now, maybe you're here today, you've been saved but not baptized, and you came today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You can come now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Or if you need to be baptized, you can talk to one of the men about it at the front. There's a man standing at the end of each aisle. Be willing to talk to you about that if you need to. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for your word. I pray that you'll help us. God, direct us, bless us, help us to always, as we look ahead, do it in the context of continually looking up and finding your will and obeying it and living in it, because it's good and it's acceptable and it's perfect for each one of us, and how wonderful it is. Help us today, O God, is my prayer. Bless anybody that's lost, unsaved, to snap out of it and come to Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You raised your hand this morning. Let me encourage you to come and use the altar. God spoke to your heart. You come this morning. Take a moment to kneel and pray here. What does God want? God's will. God spoke to your heart. Would you come?